Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
I want you to grab your Bibles this evening. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. This is the fourth part of a collection of talks entitled God Dream. Been studying the life of Joseph. And I want to bring your attention tonight to chapter 45. This week you had lots of reading, and you would have read chapter 45. And I want to bring it up on the screen here. Chapter 45, starting in verse 1 as it comes up. This is sort of a culminating moment for Joseph. And I want us to look at is his God dream really becomes a reality. Let's look together. Verse 1, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph. The one you sold into Egypt, I believe is what it said. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Come on, anybody excited about that? That's a good word right there. I want to take the next 32 minutes and 52 seconds, and I want to preach to you from this thought, righteous revenge. Righteous revenge. Righteous revenge. Would you pray with me? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing today. We thank you for all the families that are represented, Lord, as we pray for these world changers, God, as we dedicate them over to you, Lord, that your hand would be upon their life, that they would grow in wisdom and stature, favor with God, favor with man. Lord, today we believe that you have a God dream for VU Church. And so, Lord, we open up our hearts. God, we want to hear from you. Lord, in this 4 p.m. service today, I pray that you would speak to your people. We want to see Jesus today, Lord. We thank you for everything. And in Jesus' mighty name, all of God's people said, amen. Come on, all of God's people said, amen. Come on, 4 p.m. fire. If you love Jesus, make some noise. Well, I have a whole lot to be grateful for this week because this was one of the greatest weeks of my entire life. I am thankful. This past Tuesday, after 8 years of struggling with infertility, God worked a miracle as my baby boy was born into the world, Wyatt Wesley Wilkerson. Holler at your boy. Thank you. Isn't God good? We serve a faithful God. I want to thank everyone in our church because your texts and your prayers have meant so much to us. Dawn Cherie sends her love and her greetings, and she's going to be back to church ASAP. She is recovering well. She is a legend, yo. This has just been a miraculous week for us, and the reason why people are standing tonight and the reason why people are applauding is because so many of you have been on the journey with us. And you've walked through the valley with us. And so one of the great things about doing life in community is that it makes the valleys not so hard and it makes the mountaintops so much better. Amen. And so we go together. Yep. I got to be honest with you. Like, this has been the most incredible week. I love being a dad. Like, I thought I was going to like it, but I really, like, love it. There's so many things I like about it. There's this thing I didn't even know about this. Have you heard of this thing? It's called skin to skin. The parents know what I'm talking about, but I guess when a little baby's born, it's really important that they have like their shirt off and your shirt is off and they lay on you and you go skin to skin. And I guess it helps nurture them and develop them. And like, I can't explain to you, my little boy with his shirt off and his little hands in my chest, he's like, dad, I love it, dude. I'm telling you. He's gonna be like 12 years old. I'm like, take your shirt off. It's time for skin. He's like, what? Too far, Rich. Dad, I'm 18. Take your shirt off, son. You know? I love it. He's just awesome. It's like every day, like the love increases, the love grows. Every day you get to know him, and the more and more I know him, the more and more I love him. And you can imagine that I'm going to be sharing many lessons of being a father with you for the next 30 years of your life. But I thought today it was fitting. I think the first lesson that I've discovered this week as our little baby boy was born into the world, that as a father, if you're wise, you will quickly realize that the whole birthing process is not about you. All the women say, hey, man. like we didn't have a kid. Dawn Cherie had a child. I didn't do much other than cheer her on. And what's fascinating to me is that Dawn Cherie and I, we've been waiting for 8 years. We've been hoping and praying and trying to walk in faith. And what's amazing is as we hold our miracle and as our breakthrough or our God dream is within our grasp, as it's come to fruition, I think the big overwhelming thought that I have is that the dream, the child, the birth, the miracle, it was never about me. See, much like us having our first child is in the same way of you giving birth to your God dream. What I want you to understand today as we go a little bit deeper in Joseph's story is that your God dream is never about you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Come on, look at the other neighbor, the one you haven't talked to one time tonight, and say, it's not about you. This is a hard pill to swallow because so often we start dreaming and we start thinking and hoping, and many times we think the dream is for our glory. We think the dream is for our praise. We think the dream is for our accolades. But I have come to remind some people that a God dream, a real God dream, it's always about other people and it's always for God's glory. Come on. Is there anybody out there today who wants a God dream? As we look at Joseph's life, we see that Joseph, his God dream has been tested over and over and over and over again. Why? Because a dream that hasn't been tested is a dream that can't be trusted. Many of you, you're just getting here for part 4. And so I want to try to bring you up to speed with where we're reading from tonight out of Genesis 45, because you need some context to truly appreciate the weight and the depth of this text. Let me just bring you up to speed very, very quickly. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, the favorite son of Jacob, he has a dream at 17 years of age. Here's the dream. He sees his brothers bowing down to him and his father bowing down to him. His brothers hear the dream. They hate him for the dream. They say, you know what? We should kill him. They decide, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. They throw him in a pit. Then they sell him into slavery. As he's a slave, he ends up in Egypt. But a guy by the name of Potiphar buys him. As he buys him, he starts to like Joseph. Joseph becomes number 2 of Potiphar's house in Egypt as a slave. But not only does Potiphar like him, also Mrs. Potiphar likes him too. Mrs. Potiphar tries to lure him into bed. He's like, no, you can take my clothes, but you can't have my body. He runs away from her. Yet she lies about him. She says, this boy tried to come on to me, which was a lie. Although when Mr. Potiphar heard about it, he didn't like it. So he sentenced him to the prison. He goes to the prison. He was wrongfully accused, although he did the right thing. Yet in the prison, he meets 2 key people. He meets the baker and he meets the cupbearer. The baker has a dream. The cupbearer has a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. For the baker, he says, you're going to die in 3 days. To the cupbearer, he says, you're going to be reinstated in 3 days. But Mr. Cupbearer, when you get into the palace, don't forget me. I'm your boy, Joseph. Cupbearer's like, yo, I got you, bro. But 2 years pass by. He forgets Joseph. He ends up in the palace until Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh's being plagued with dreams. He can't understand these dreams. He's like, can anyone help my dreams? And cupbearer's like, yo, I remember this guy named Joseph. I met him in the prison. He interpreted my dream. I bet he can interpret your dream. Go get him. They pull him out of the prison. They cut his beard. They give him a high tide fade. He walks in. He says, what's your dream? Pharaoh's like, here's my dream. I saw 7 fat calves. I saw 7 skinny cows. The skinny cows ate the fat calves. Joseph's like, yo, here's what that means. That means there's gonna be 7 good years in Egypt. Then there's gonna be 7 bad years. Pharaoh's like, oh my gosh, you're so smart. You're so wise. You ought to be number 2 in Egypt. I ought to make you the ruler of my kingdom. That's where our story picks up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's where we pick up tonight in the 4 p.m. fire. So you didn't miss much if you're just getting here tonight. You didn't miss much. Joseph is here in the palace 7 good years. He's living large and in charge. He has the authority of the king, and he starts to steward and manage the blessings. 7 years of harvest, 7 years of blessing. And as he goes through these seven good years, it's followed by seven bad years. The Bible says that they are 2 years into the famine, and this famine, it doesn't just hit Egypt, but rather it hits the surrounding nations. Would you believe it actually fell on Joseph's family's home? Jacob and all of his brothers are now dealing with a famine. And so Jacob gathers his sons. He has 11 sons. The youngest is Benjamin. But he looks at his 10 brothers, his 10 brothers that are older than Joseph, and says, I hear in Egypt they have food. They have stored up food for 7 years. Take all the silver we have and go to Egypt and beg for mercy. The Bible says that the 10 brothers, they actually go to Egypt. And would you believe they're brought before Joseph? They don't know it's Joseph. Joseph's not speaking Hebrew. He's wearing Egyptian clothes. And they come in, and the Bible says that they fall on their knees and they beg him for mercy. And they ask Joseph if he can give their family food. Now, I want you to see this. Joseph had a dream at 17 years of age that one day my brothers will bow before me. We know through the scriptures that Joseph came and worked for Pharaoh at the age of 30. Seven good years makes him 37. Now the scripture tells us that it's 2 years of famine. So Joseph is anywhere from 39 to 40 years of age, meaning it has been a 23-year journey seeing the dream fulfilled. What if I told you that maybe, just maybe, you would see your dream fulfilled, but you have to be a person who's patient. You have to be a person who endures. You have to be a person who waits. Joseph didn't have a bad day. He had a bad decade. Some of you gave up on your dream because you had a bad week, yo. Go back to Joseph's journey. Joseph has passed the test of rejection. He has passed the test of temptation. He has passed the test of isolation. And now here he is. His dream is coming to fruition. He's holding his miracle. And now he will be challenged with maybe his greatest test yet. It is known as the test of retribution. His brothers are begging him for their help. They don't even know it's Joseph. Now, if I'm Joseph, this would be a precarious situation for me. Because you understand, right? Like, there's his brothers. They're begging for mercy. And if I'm Joseph, I might be like, yo, hey, boys, it's me. Ha ha. I might start singing like Justin Timberlake. What goes around, comes around, comes up. You threw me in a pit. Now I'm going to put you in prison. You deserve to be punished. You deserve justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I'm going to destroy you. Yet Joseph was a man who had a God dream. And he knew that his dream was not about him, but it was about other people. And it was about giving God glory. Joseph, he could curse them, but instead he blesses them. He could hurt them, but instead he forgives them. He operates in what I like to call righteous revenge. Look at what Romans chapter 12 says. This is beautiful. Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, he says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. That's a dope scripture right there. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now he quotes Proverbs. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, come on, somebody ought to give God a bit of praise right there. See, many of us, we talk about God dreams and we talk about the journey to arriving at the God dream. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the moment that you do get your dream. I want to talk to you about when you are holding your miracle. I want to talk to you about 23 years of laboring and waiting, that when God gives you the platform, when God gives you the authority, when God gives you a voice, the question is, how will you use it? Because some of you tonight, you're like, yo, I want to make them all pay. I'll make all the haters pay. Every person who doubted me, every person who stabbed a knife in my back, I want to pull that knife out and I want to use it. I want to let the doubters know. I want to let everybody know who put resistance around me, who rejected me. I'm fighting right now. I'm going through this journey, but one day I will show them. One day I will make them pay. I want my revenge. All right. God's given you the antidote. It's called righteous revenge. Righteous revenge is when you choose to forgive. Ooh. Forgiveness? Yeah. Yeah, your motivation matters. Your intentions matter. God says, I want you to operate in righteous revenge. I want you to realize that the battle is the Lord's and that I will repay and I will bring wrath. None of that is your business. Your job is to steward the miracle. Your job is to manage the miracle. You want to get back at some people? You want to get back at some people who betrayed you and hurt you that never believed in you? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgiveness is the new F word. Next time someone hurts you, just say, F you. Forgive you, doc. Forgive you. Because when you forgive, Paul says, it's like heaping burning coals on someone's head. You see, a God dream is never about what you can get. It's always about what you can give. It's not about getting retribution. It's about giving a contribution. And here's Joseph. He's endured 23 years, and that's some good preaching. We like that because most of us, that's where we're at. But today I talk to you as a man who in one facet of my life has arrived at a God dream, and as a father holding my baby for the first time, wisdom would tell me, yo, Rich, this wasn't about you. This was about others, and this was about God's glory. See, when you pass the test of retribution, when forgiveness is in your heart, it will always, always, always be the great key indicator that your dream is bigger than you. I want to show you two things really quickly, and I only got two because I want to get home and stare at this kid. I want to just give you two things. These are really, really, really basic because I think this is going to be important for you in your spirit. Two things that I see from Genesis 45, you know, it was Gandhi who said this. He said simply, an eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind. And what he was getting at is if that we're all motivated by proving each other wrong, it's going to leave all of us blind. We must be people of forgiveness. And I want to show you just these two things from Genesis 45. Watch this. The first thing, and they're both kind of questions. Today is definitely a conversation for you to have on the inside. It's definitely a heart check for many of us. But the first question is all about this word, who. Everyone say, who. I want you to ask yourself today, who am I? Who am I? Because many of us, we get caught up in what we do. And as we get caught up in what we do, we forget who we are. Do you know where your identity comes from? What creates your identity? What defines your identity? Is your identity wrapped up in what you've accomplished? Is your identity wrapped up in your accolades? Is your identity wrapped up in your bank account? Is your identity wrapped up in the car that you drive? Is your identity wrapped up in the degrees on your wall? Is your identity wrapped up in your position in life? Because all of that stuff can fade. And the only reason why Joseph is able to pass the test of retribution, the only reason why he's able to forgive his brothers who threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery, the only reason why he can bless them instead of curse them is because he knew who he was. Look at what Genesis 45 says. I don't know if you noticed it, but Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. See, I think it's interesting. His brothers could not recognize him. Do you know why his brothers could not recognize him? Because they probably thought, if Joseph still is alive, how on earth does he look that good? He looked better than what they imagined. They probably thought he was dead. Last time they saw him was 23 years ago, and he was a 17-year-old little boy that they sold into slavery. But now they're looking at a 40-year-old man who's ruling a kingdom. Some of you are going to experience this in life. Someone that you used to do life with back in the day, that you were into some stuff that was not you, but somehow you run into them at the mall and they're like, yo, something looks different about you. You're like, yeah, something's different about me. I've encountered Jesus and the Son sets free. And when he sets us free, I'm free indeed. I'm not bound by my past. I'm not carrying a weight of bitterness. You do know that bitterness is ugly. I don't care what clothes you put on. I don't care how much makeup you wear. I don't care if by the world standards you are known as beautiful or handsome. If you have a heart full of offense, if you have a heart full of unforgiveness, if you have a heart full of bitterness, that stuff will seep through. Bitterness is ugly, but forgiveness? That's attractive, man. They didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph, it tells me that he forgave them long before this moment, but he had made a choice to release them a long time ago. See, forgiveness is releasing a prisoner only to discover that you were the prisoner. Whoa. I'm forgiving these guys. I'm letting them go. I know who I am. I am Joseph. I ran into a guy not too long ago. He's like, man, you've changed. I was like, you've stayed the same. If you're not changing, you're dying. Change is a part of growth. I grow, I change, I adapt, I shift, but my identity remains the same. Joseph was a man that wherever he went, he knew who he was. I want you to get this deep down in your heart, because if you're ever going to be a person of forgiveness, if you're ever going to unleash righteous revenge, it all starts with you knowing who you are. Joseph's like, I am Joseph. He's not ashamed of his name. He's proud of his name. He hasn't lost his identity. I meet so many people that on the journey to their God dream, the trials and the tests that they go through, as they face rejection, as they face temptation, as they face isolation, somehow in that process, they lose who they are. Yet Joseph was the same guy everywhere he went. He made a decision to say, I know who I am. I know who I'm. I'm Joseph. You know what Joseph's name means? It means that God may increase. How many know everywhere he went, he lived up to his name? He went from the pit to Potiphar's house, but he was Joseph. He increased. Yes, he got lied about in Potiphar's house and he was thrown into the prison, but come on, his name was Joseph. He increased. Yes, out of the prison, he ended up in Pharaoh's house, and there once again, I am Joseph. He increased. Didn't matter if he was on the mountaintop, didn't matter if he was in the valley, didn't matter if it was a good day, a bad day, didn't matter if it was Monday or Friday, he was Joseph. See, I've learned that if the devil can't kill you with failure, he will try with success. And we all like the first three messages leading up to a God dream, but we don't want to talk about the moment that God does grant us our miracle. We don't want to prepare for carrying the blessing. Joseph knew who he was in every season of life. I'm Joseph and I know who I am. I'm still the same Joseph in the pit that I am in the palace. That's who I am. If you throw failure my way, I'm still the same guy. If you give me success, I'm the same guy. Why? Because Joseph knew the goal was not for him to be successful. The goal was for him to be faithful. My prayer, and I have been so convicted this week, I have been trying to figure out how to deliver this and how to say this to you in the right way. But my prayer is that you never confuse your God dream with the American dream. Two totally different things. Two totally different things. The American dream is all about you, while a God dream is all about God. Come on, is there anybody at VU Church that would say, I know who I am. Wherever you put me, I know who I am. But my name has a meaning. You know who you are, right? Some of you have forgotten who you are. Some of you have been trying to define your identity by all your stuff. Some of you are defining your identity by your past mistakes. Right. Some of you are defining your identity by the list of successes on your wall. Listen to me. None of that stuff defines who you are. Who you are is that you are a child of God. Let's go. Come on, I'm preaching to someone else. You're a child of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I like it how Peter says he calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once I was in darkness, but he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. The psalmist, he'll write that God, he pulled me out of that slimy pit. He put my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. I am a child of God. I don't care where you put me. I don't care what comes my way. I know who I am. And because I know who I am, I can unleash righteous revenge. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise in this place. God's going to give you the platform. God's going to put a microphone in your hand. God's going to give you a voice. And when he does, I hope you understand it's not for your glory, it's for his glory. The Apostle Paul, he understood this. See, I can forgive because God forgave me. That's why, like, if you don't understand God's forgiveness, like, you're never going to be a person who walks in forgiveness. Right. Look what the Apostle Paul said. This is beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am who I am simply by the grace of God. If it wasn't for his grace, if it wasn't for his mercy, I would not be able to stand here today. Every miracle, every dream fulfilled is because of his rich mercy and because of his grace. I want to challenge our church today. Who we are matters more importantly than what we do. My identity is not dictated by what I do. What I do is dictated by my identity. What I do flows out of who I am. I want us to be a healthy church. I want us to focus on who we are. God hasn't called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. That's our job. Our job is obedience. His job is outcome. God's just looking for a man or a woman that he can trust to be faithful. I am Joseph. I haven't lost myself. I'm still your brother. I'm still the guy you sold into slavery. And it's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm thinking about it a whole lot this week because I got this little boy who's starting to grow up in my life, and it's only been 4 days, but I'm like, yo, this kid, he doesn't care how good the sermon is that I preach. Let's be honest. I can maybe fool you for 35 minutes on a Sunday and maybe impress you. You might go, man, Rich is so wise and he's so smart. Yo, this kid's going to know the truth no matter what. And I want to start focusing right now on who I am more than what I do. I want this kid to know that my life is preaching a louder message than I ever have with a microphone in my hand. I want to know who I am. I am who I am by the grace of God. Who are you? Some of you need to go home today and define that. You're starting businesses left and right. You spend more time investing into your business than you do into your soul. Your business has a mission statement, but your life is missing one. Who are you, man? Who are you, woman of God? Because stuff comes and goes, and life has a way of happening, but your identity can remain intact. You can't take that from me. You can't steal that from me. I am who I am by the grace of God. I started going through this week. I want to be kind. It's kind to be kind. I want to be nice. It's nice to be nice. I want to be a man who's generous. Regardless of what my bank account says, I want to be a man who's generous. I want to be a man of conviction. I want people to know that I was a man who was grateful. That whatever you, at the end of my life, I want people to say, you know what? There's one thing we can say about Rich. This dude loved life and he was a grateful dude. I want to be known as a passionate man. What are the things that you want to be known for? Who are you? You got to define that, because once you define that, everything's going to flow out of that. Here's Joseph going, hey guys, I got to tell you, I am Joseph. And I can forgive you because I know who I am. I too was forgiven. Therefore, I can forgive you. Everyone say who. You got to know who you are. But secondly, and I want you to see this, is this word why. Everyone say why. If I'm going to be a person who unleashes righteous revenge, I got to know who I am and I got to know why I do what I do. Two greatest days in your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why. Why? Why do you do what you do? What is motivating you? See, this is the thing about the God dream, is that your motivation matters to God. You know how some people say it's just like, you know, the means justify the end? No, not with God. He cares about how you get there. He cares about the process. He cares about the heart. He cares why you desire that. Have you ever wondered, why do I desire this dream? I am not for one second trying to instill apathy inside of you. No, I want a holy ambition to come over you. I just want you to check your heart and discover that you have to answer the question of why. If you're ever going to be a person that's promoted and elevated to a place and that you have been given the authority, you've been given the power, when you have that moment to exhaust that power, unless you've answered the question of why, you will always curse instead of bless. You will always hurt instead of forgive. Well, watch what Joseph does. This is just beautiful. Genesis chapter 45. The worship team can come help me out. Otherwise, I'll preach until 6:30. Here we go. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves. This is deep stuff that you just read quickly this past week. He's talking to his brothers who sold him into slavery. Don't be angry with... I'd be like, look, I forgive you, but you should be angry with yourself. Like, you know, I have a little mixture in there, you know? Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Watch this. Because. What is because? Because is answering why. Yeah. Let me tell you why. Why? Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now watch this. This is my favorite verse of the entire collection. All of this, all 4 weeks, all 5 weeks, really next week. This is the key verse to me. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. That's called maturity in the Lord right there. That's called righteous revenge. That when I can look back on all the pain, I can look back on all the trials, I can look back on the temptation. I can look back on the isolation. And I can say, you know what? It actually wasn't you. It was God who sent me here. I had to go through this stuff. So I don't know if you caught it, but God is saying something very clearly here. He's answering the question of why for all of us. You see, Joseph dreamed at 17 that his brothers would bow down to him. And now at 40 or 39 years of age, the brothers are bowing down to him. Joseph probably thought originally that was the God dream. In fact, all of us, for 4 weeks, we've been waiting for this moment where these brothers would bow down because that was the dream, right? But what if I told you that wasn't the dream? That was a byproduct of the dream. The dream had nothing to do with brothers bowing down. No, did you catch it? The dream had everything to do with God saving his people called Israel from a famine that he might have a remnant in the earth. Why? Because it was out of that family line that Jesus would come into existence. Come on, somebody. It's 4 p.m. fire. Let's just get it here. Let's get it. See, now I'm giving commentary, and I should be very careful as I say that. I think God started looking down at Jacob's sons and said, I need one of them. I got a dream. And my dream is to rescue my people. And my dream is that I would get glory. All right, there's 12 sons. There's Reuben, there's Gad, there's Simeon, there's Judah, there's Benjamin, there's Joseph. Oh, Joseph. Yeah. I think I can trust Joseph. I think I could use Joseph. I think I could put Joseph through hell and high water. And I think I could trust him through the rejection that he would realize there's more to know. And I think when I put the bait in front of him, I got to put the bait in front of him because I got to know, does he have the character? Does he have the character to sustain the blessing? Nah, he's not going to take the bait. Let's give him a go. I got to throw him in that prison because it's this thing called incubation through isolation. But I'm wondering when I elevate him. I'm wondering when I promote him. I'm wondering after he's waited for 23 years for a miracle to occur, for a blessing to happen. I'm wondering when he's holding his blessing. I'm wondering when he's holding his miracle. Will he have the wherewithal to realize it was never about him, but it was always about God and always about God's people? yeah, I can trust Joseph. It wasn't about bowing down. It was about saving his people. That famine was going to hit not just Egypt, but even Israel. And God needed a remnant of his people on the earth. So he picked Joseph, because it wasn't Joseph's dream. It was God's dream. And you'll see this too. When you can answer the why am I here? For God's glory. Why am I here? To worship God, to bring praise to God, to make the name of Jesus famous. You will realize that every part of your story has a purpose. I didn't say every part of your story you like it. I didn't say every part of your story you're going, let's stay here longer. No, but every part has a purpose. You know, I've been saying for weeks that Joseph was thrown into a pit. Not true. Sort of true. Joseph was thrown into a dried up cistern. What does that mean? That means it was a well that did not produce water anymore. Many theologians believe it's because there was a drought in the land. But how many know there was a purpose? Joseph learned to work through a famine because he had already lived through a drought. That part had a purpose. You see, he learned how to serve a warden in a prison because he had already served Potiphar in his home. See, he learned how to serve Pharaoh in the palace because he had already served the prisoners in the prison. Every part has a purpose. And when you come to the fruition of your God dream and you hold your dream in your hands, the motivation and the intention of why you do what you do will be challenged. And some of you today, I'm going to your heart, and it won't make you shout and it won't make you excited, but you will take it home and you will think about it tonight. Are you doing what you're doing so you can prove all the haters wrong? Are you doing what you are doing so you can have everyone say, look at you, and you can say, look at me now, I proved you wrong? Or are you doing what you're doing so you can stand on a stage one day and say, don't look at me, look at God. You didn't bring me here. God brought me here. It had to happen this way. It had to happen this way. I can say today, after an 8-year journey of infertility, there was moments of rejection. There was moments of temptation. There was moments of isolation. But here I am today, and I'm not mad at anybody. I want to say it wasn't anybody or anything, but rather it was God who delayed the miracle so the miracle could be right on time. And it's not for my glory. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Let's unleash righteous revenge. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm not carrying this bitterness. A God dream cannot be motivated by fleshly desires. A God dream must be motivated by the Spirit. This whole collection, we've tried to give you a glimpse that Jesus is on every page. It's important. And I don't know if we see Jesus any more clearly than we do right here in Genesis chapter 45. See, the whole Bible, friends, is about one name. That's the name of Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books are shouting out the name of Jesus. All 66 books are trying to give you a glimpse, a foreshadow, an outline of the gospel to come, the good news of Jesus, that Jesus has come to save you. In fact, Jesus Christ in John chapter 5, verse 39, this is what he said about himself. He said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Look at this. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus is saying the power is not in the scripture, the power is in the person of the scripture. When you read your Bible, don't look for a principle, look for a person. Look at what he says in verse 45. This gets even better. But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. Watch this. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for Moses wrote about me. Do you know that Moses wrote the book of Genesis? Meaning that when Moses was writing the story of Genesis chapter 45, as he was recounting the historical events of this guy named Joseph, he didn't even know it at the time, but there was an inkling in his heart that there was one that was going to come who was going to be greater than Joseph. And Joseph was just a setup for Jesus, that Jesus was going to be the true and better Joseph. You see, Joseph, what does he do? He sat at the right hand of the king, Pharaoh, and he forgave those. He blessed those that he should have cursed, that he should have condemned. The book of Hebrews will tell us that Jesus Christ, He sits at the right hand of the Father. And instead of condemning us, instead of hurting us, instead of giving us justice, oh friends, He gives us grace, He gives us blessing, He gives us mercy, He unleashes righteous revenge. He is the greater Joseph. He is the one who came to rescue our soul. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, sing it out.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.